Hello, everybody. Welcome to the start of a new week. This is Cow Daily Monday edition. Today, we're going to be talking about the Labour Party again, but it's kind of hard not to when there's so many people talking much shit in the face of all evidence reality. So we go on. Also, Just Stop Oil and their actions and how I've had a change of heart. If you were watching Cow Weekly with Alice a couple of weeks ago, I had a kind of different view, but we'll get a bit deeper into it then. But in the meantime, please do comment, rate and subscribe and all of that good stuff. And please, if you are watching this, please watch it on YouTube. Helps us to monetize the channel. That's youtube.com/cowdaily, youtube.com/cowdaily, link in the description. Also, if you'd like to support our work directly by helping us keep the lights on, please go to patreon.com/cowdaily. That's patreon.com/cowdaily. If you'd like to make a one-off donation to our work, link in the description for PayPal too. Also, nice to see some people in. Joanne G's in. Good morning. Jacqueline Hemmons is in. Hello, mate. How are you doing? And also Shelley Kelly. Nice to see you. Right. I think what we'll do is we'll start with the Labour Party, get that out of the way. There's a few bits and bobs that I want to show you that I've been sort of collecting over the weekend a little bit. And it's just more evidence that they're absolutely done and full of shit. Interesting that was started Monday today with just this whole sort of, I was up at six trying to work on this and got sucked in for an hour. On Facebook with people calling us a Tory again. But, you know, one of them was on a thread where I was talking about just that. It's really mental. It's absolutely rad. Really fun to watch, though. Anyway, I'm going to play this video from Laura Koonsberg over the weekend. This is Jonathan Reynolds, who is a Labour ghoul, I believe.
What he has done is evident to personal finances, to business finances, and to the national finances. Now, look, people know, they don't expect a Labour government can wave a magic wand and fix all these problems overnight. And Keir is just being absolutely level and straight with people about that.
But what does that mean in concrete terms?
It means we can't do everything as quickly as we would like, because there has been a real and lasting impact on the British economy of the incompetence and the disgraceful behaviour of the last 3 weeks. And people know that. But what they want is hope for the future. They want a government that has a real plan for growth, not this trickle-down fantasy that somehow tax cuts for better-off people will pay for that. And there is real commitment to public services and to jobs in this country.
But
they will get that from Labour.
But people will hear, though, that you're not answering that specifically. But it sounds like that message, what Keir Starmer said, basically is a message designed to say, it's going to be tough, we might have to cut spending, and we're going to have to put taxes up.
No, it's not about talking about any kind of return to austerity, but it is an acknowledgement. When the last Labour government left office, we were talking about seeing a GP in 48 hours. Now the height of the government's ambition is 2 weeks. You can't turn that round overnight. You can't turn around the delays in the criminal justice system overnight. You can't turn around the problems with, you know, getting the police in your area or responding to crime. But you can have a better plan for the future. You can give people hope for the future. You can make different choices. And that is what people expect from a Labour government, and that's what they will get.
No, they won't. They will get nothing. And this is the same old playbook that's been going on since time immemorial between two cheeks of the same establishment arse, which is the Conservative Party and the Labour Party. Lib Dems, etc. wouldn't be any better. Like, the same old people, it's just a different rosette, isn't it? So, one of the takeaways from that is in this clip from which was posted on BBC Politics, a couple of quotes. We can't do everything as quickly as we would like. Labour's Jonathan Reynolds says, don't expect a Labour government can wave a magic wand and fix all those problems overnight. That is just a remix of the magic money tree and all of that shite that these politicians come up with. And it wouldn't be surprising as if they're sitting there working all this out between them, eh? Because they all seem to be mates, don't they? There was a response on Twitter, though, and this was Mr. Demos of PNYX. I don't even know what that means. I like this guy, though. He seems to come up with a lot of good shit. Okay, here's the thing. It can. Overnight Labour could begin the process of positively transforming the country and everything from infrastructure to public services to substantial wage increases. It chooses not to because it is an embedded entity of the state. Very interesting. Not particularly sitting here like saying that that's false. I don't see any lies spoken there. And that's the problem that we've got. that we will not, and I say we quite loosely because I don't know what we is in terms of a society anymore. A hell of a lot of people within society are content to wrap this cloak of delusion around themselves, like get the Tories out, or it must be Labour then. The issue that I have here is it doesn't include everybody who's living in poverty. It's the sixth largest economy on earth. There shouldn't be people living in poverty. You know, people talk about get your charity begins at home, and quite often they then launch into some kind of like diatribe against asylum seekers and refugees or anybody else that they want or have been told to blame for the problem. The problem is quite simple. The establishment won't do that without being at least nudged in that direction. And that is going to come from the strikes. It's going to come from the protests, like Just Stop Oil, who I've done a bit of a turnaround on. I've had massive respect for anyway, don't get us wrong. But there'll be more on that later in the show. And what we're seeing is a lot of people who don't stand to be that very inconvenienced by what's afoot are just going like, this is all fine, yeah, just get Labour and it'll be fine. Meanwhile, millions of people living in poverty still don't have any solutions, and you're shaming them and calling those people Tories, myself included, for going, hold on a minute, they're doing the same old shit. They've started running this playbook this weekend. It tends to be what happens. They'll go on the Sunday shows. Used to be Andrew Marr, and obviously I think Koonsberg's doing it now, or the version of it. And they'll just start launching their sort of attack lines or lines of gaslighting for the week. So Jonathan Evans has brought that for us now. Cheers, Jonathan, you absolute rat. There's one here. This was in response to your classic... is it a bot? I don't know. But just the same old shit from sort of Labour supporters online saying that Corbyn was entirely to blame and that's why the 2019 election was lost. There's a graph here which clearly states the main issue was Brexit, and it says in the caption, no, that's incorrect. Starmer enabled Johnson by calling for a second EU referendum 2 months before they get Brexit done, 2019 general election. All of the Leave majority red wall seats defected the Tories as a result, confirmed by this exit poll. I mean, I wouldn't go as far as to say it totally confirms it, but it's certainly a bit more than circumstantial evidence, isn't it? 49% the issue of Brexit was the issue going into that election. I'd suggest if we took that out completely, the likes of Laura Pidcock and others would still have their seats. So also some of the things I've found around the internet, but from The Independent, I believe. Keir Starmer warns next Labour government will face really tough challenges thanks to economic slump. The Labour leader said the economic slump means not being able to do things, good Labour things, as quickly as we might like, even if the party takes power. Listen, there's going to be, if that happens, here's what's going to happen. And you don't need a fucking crystal ball for this. Nothing or very little or some scraps from Sir Keir Longshanks's table. That. Nothing else. There's not going to be the root and branch reform, investment, just anything that we actually need as a people, as a society, as a country. They're not going to deliver it, but they've already got some locked and loaded excuses. So don't worry if you can't put your heating on this winter. Don't worry if you're thinking about whether you can afford the gas to heat some food, if you've indeed got food. Don't worry about that, because Labour and briefcase fucking wankerdom have you covered. Not at all, really, but they'll fucking find an excuse when or if they get elected. And none of this is going to happen. There's going to be no hope. Sorry, I know you don't like people who rip the elastoplast off, but it's, to me, we're far better off not deluding ourselves and then being more than disappointed down the line than just sit here going, yeah, well, I know Labour are slightly less racist and whatever. And I know that this was one of the conversations this morning, man. Somebody was basically saying, yeah, I haven't read the Ford report. I know they're slightly less racist, but Labour and that, and you're a Tory. Mad, isn't it? It's this isn't some level of delusion. it's exasperating, but it's like got so exasperating it's become utterly funny. Like I'm sitting there every morning laughing my tits off going, why are humans so predisposed to delusion over reality? And this is a thread that runs throughout a lot of the shows that we've been doing recently, and I kind of wish it wasn't, and it certainly will be in the Just Stop Oil thing. And I'll be focusing the guns on myself because I can't be sitting here every day talking this kind of shit, this amount of shit about other people. And when I actually like run into a brick wall of my own bullshit, not actually start taking that apart brick by brick. So we'll be doing a little bit of that later, because in terms of Just Stop Oil, in terms of the situation that we're in, I'm absolutely and utterly full of shit. And I realized that 2 weeks on. So we're going to deconstruct that later. Stick around. Right. What else we got here from these horrible bastards? This is a thread I want to go through, and this is from a professor of history at Cambridge University, and he's done a bit of a play-by-play from the Puff piece in The Telegraph yesterday about Starmer's Labour. Now, for people who don't understand, like, stand or have the awareness of like how the media can break down or on party lines and whatnot, the Tory graph has always been called the Tory graph, right? It was said that Boris Johnson, when he was Prime Minister, and I'm not convinced it's over, would just look to the Tory graph in the morning just to know what he was allowed to say and what he wasn't allowed to say. Really, really messed up. If you want to look for the quotes which corroborate that, go look for them. But in the meantime, I just want to talk you through some of this play-by-play that Nicholas Guyatt has done, or Guyatt, who teaches American history at Cambridge. Opinion strictly personal, apparently. So, within the article, there's hearty praise for Starmer's war on the left and a shout out for his trusty lieutenants in this noble cause. Apologies for the marks on McSweeney's forehead. Couldn't take the photo before my wife started digging her nails in. There's a picture of Morgan McSweeney there. I haven't got time to go deep into these people. Always as a primer, look at them yourself. Nicholas goes on to say, there's mild acknowledgement that Starmer's huge lead is almost entirely a result of the Tories' self-immolation. Labour focus group guru Mattinson gently rinsed for her toe-curling ideal voters. Also, the lovely story that Labour panicked that a new slogan might insult the Queen. I think she had enough on her plate at the time, pal. I wouldn't worry about it. She now dead. So there's an excerpt here. So there's good stuff too on the Blairite's view of the Red Wall voters and their patronising belief that you can win them back with empty symbolism rather than material change. I confess I hadn't heard before of Labour's interest in priority boarding for veterans, a US import. I hadn't heard of this either. And I'm from the so-called Red Wall, like deep in it. My dad was born in Consett, which is one of the areas northwest Durham, which switched to Tory, which I think his dad, who was a miner, would be spinning in his grave. Unbelievable, isn't it? But anyway, this is reality. We've got to deal with it. Ripping off the elastoplast. The absolute ratbaggery that's at play here and revisionism of history is really interesting to watch. It's also really interesting to watch people who I thought were pretty solid just going along with this shit. Also, on the flip side, it's also been really awe-inspiring and hopeful to see people like Paul Daly hop on the podcast, resign as chair of Sedgefield Labour Party, Tony Blair's former constituency, and 15 people go with him the day after he did record the podcast. Well done for getting ahead of it, Paul, and well done for your fucking integrity. There is hope, you see, and the hope comes from regular people like Paul who actually give a shit. What else we got? There's two major insights from the Tory graph piece. First, the party has now been entirely recaptured by the Labour right. Of course, it has. The party has gone back not to pre-Corbyn days, but pre-Brown days. It's new Labour all over again, with Blairites everywhere and corporate cash flooding back. Here's a thing for you, right? We've been doing like little pieces on this, like Richard Armitage, United Healthcare, West Street and Links, and others, right? When Labour get in, do you think these corporate donors are just going to like go, right, just get on with it, like do all the good things for the people? They want something in return. They don't do it otherwise. Like, who's given money to political parties who don't expect to gain something for themselves? scant few people, I would suggest. Absolutely and utterly mad. There's something I feel like it would be remiss not to mention as well, and it's like a follow-on from what Paul Daly was saying on the podcast just last week. Please go back and watch that one, listen to it on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. It's very illuminating. He's very candid. Another candidate here, Maurice McLeod, in London. This is what he says. Last night I was blocked from standing to be the next Labour MP for Camberwell and Peckham. I'm gutted. The party is saying it has no place for an anti-racist socialist like me in Parliament. Thank you so much to all those who support and worked on my campaign. Last night I was blocked by the Labour Party machine. This is Maurice's statement, by the way. Standing Labour, Camberwell and Peckham. I'm deeply disappointed by this unfair decision taken behind closed doors. It denies local members the opportunity to vote for me. This comes despite huge support locally and despite receiving nominations from two trade unions, which, according to the party rules, should have guaranteed me a place on the long list. The reasons given are as frivolous as once liking a tweet by Caroline Lucas, the leader of the Green Party. This was plainly a factional intervention. And I'd go on to say that. I don't have the picture here, but there's pictures of like top table Labour people like sitting on panels with Caroline Lucas. So if you can't like a tweet by Caroline Lucas, you can't certainly sit on a fucking panel with Caroline Lucas, surely. So as Maurice says here, it's plainly a factional intervention. So anyway, it goes on. I stood because the people of Camberwell and Peckham need a representative who understands the concerns and isn't afraid to stand up for them. As a young man, I was stopped by the police over 100 times. I've attended too many funerals for those who've died due to street violence. I've lived in council housing since I was 4, and I first became a councillor in the wake of Grenfell with my sister, calling me every night, terrified that a block like hers would go up in flames. I've dedicated my entire adult life to fighting for black and working class people. As political editor of The Voice, Britain's leading black newspaper in the 1990s, I helped lead the fight for justice for Stephen Lawrence and reported on the McPherson Report, exposing institutional racism in the police. Recently, I was CEO of... I'm just going to stop there. Maurice, I think we've discovered your problem, mate. The problem is all of these things that you're expressing, which should like qualify you to be a Labour MP, but the current Labour Party don't want people like you, which is shit, but we really need to start something new so people like you can be embraced, mate. I'm telling you. I'm like, listen, we'll probably do a little bit more on this later in the week, but that's the gist of the report. And it's very similar to what's happened to Paul Daly and so many others around the country. To the people who say stay and fight, and I'm looking at you, Jamie Driscoll, as well. I've seen the way you've been going on as well. And I wasn't going to say now, but I'm inviting you to come back on the show. And I want to talk to you about this because I know you're a socialist. I know you're an anti-racist. But I've seen some of the things you've been replying to people on. And I don't like it. I don't think this speaks very, very well of you. And we should talk. So if you ever want to come back on and have a proper conversation, fuck all this interview shit. We'll just talk as human beings. Let's do it, man. Because this is fucking serious shit. What do you think? And this is not just you, Jamie, but others, right? Because the quality of what I saw you write had the quality of some of the fucking trolls on our page, right? What do you think some people of colour, and I use that word advisedly because some people of colour don't give a fuck because some people of colour aren't a monolith. We know this because to like say they are would be racist. What do you think some people of colour think when they read that shit? When the Labour Party itself is not dealing with this at all, and the Ford Report, as I'm saying, well, I'm blue in the face, says there's a hierarchy of racism and it's not a welcoming place for people of colour. Boom shaka fucking lack. Look, there's Maurice McLeod. Again. One of many people who aren't welcome, who, like, are you going to advise him to stay and fight? Is that what's happening? Stay and fight for what? They've changed the rules in the NEC, so you're not getting on there. And they've changed it, like, really made it super hard, as we've seen. By super hard, I mean impossible for decent people to be selected to be Labour MPs. So what we're staying and fighting for? Like fighting over who can deliver the most leaflets and give you free work. fighting over who can fucking amplify yous on podcasts. That's all stopping. Stopped. So will yous come on? Let's talk. Anyway, there's Maurice McLeod again. Why don't we not get Maurice on and you can talk to Maurice? Let's ask Maurice to come on as well. I will be asking Maurice, but why don't you tell Maurice why he should stay and fight? Why don't all yous? Now, this wasn't planned today. I didn't even know I was going to mention these people. I'm fucking done with this shit, man. Stop gaslighting the electorate. Stop gaslighting us, people who supported yous. Or don't, because we don't give a fuck, because you're not getting a vote from us. So jog the fuck on, honestly. Anyway, comments. Right. Here we go. It's a good podcast, that one. A little bit too pro-labour for me. Maybe it will be a bit less now. Hold on a minute. I think Jacqueline is talking about... Yeah, sorry, I got a bit ahead. Jacqueline Hemmings is saying, watch Paul Daly and Socialist Think Tank, Political Unmuted, on Tuesday at 9. Jono, I think it might be a little less. Albert Turnbull. Usual drivel. We have the worst government to live in history. Even the Tories agree, but it must be Labour's fault. Give your head a shake. Albert, right. My opinions are based on evidenced reality. Your opinions are not. Is this now clear? Why don't you come on here and tell us why I'm wrong and present your evidence? Open invite. Otherwise, you talk and drivel. Now shut up. Anyway, further. Jacqueline Hemmings, Telegraph readers don't have much to fear from a Labour victory. Is all the red flag you need that Labour is the replacement Tory party? Excellent, excellent comment. Zoe Jarrett, give your own head a shake, lad. I'd watch out, Zoe. Like, they'll be saying that, like, you're one of me flying monkeys and all this. Listen, like, people like me don't have flying monkeys, right? We just agree. We agree with each other. There's no, like, sort of, like, secret WhatsApp group where it's like, get him. Unlike what detractors. Let's have it fucking right. Not that we give a fuck. Go fuck yourselves. Anyway. Robert Grady. Mate, watch it on YouTube. Please, everybody, watch this on YouTube. I beg of thee. But I do appreciate you being here every time, man. Like, love you and that. So if it's just you, Facebook, you can watch it on. Just thanks. Thanks for being here. But watch it on bloody YouTube, dude. Robert Grady. Poverty is a political choice. It fucking so is. And I love the fact that you can just drill down into, like, really economical use of language and get it every single time. So it is, and it always has been. And I think we've been gaslighted far too long to take any politician seriously at the minute. I mean, I don't know anybody that I'm taking seriously. No, I don't. Anyway, what we're going to do is, right, we'll move on to the next section, which is, like, my complete and utter apology. I'm not going to use mea culpa because I'm not fucking Reese Morgan. It doesn't mean apology. It's an apology to Just Stop Oil. And yeah, actually, I owe an apology to somebody else. Robert Grady, already watching on YouTube as well as on FB. Mate, apologize. And I love the fact you're doing both. Cheers, pal. Much appreciated. So what we got? Please do support our work directly by going to patreon.com/cowdaily. That's patreon.com/cowdaily. Also, if you want to make a one-off donation to the Cow Daily project, which means putting the lecky on, buying a brew, how you like, PayPal link in the description. It's much appreciated. And I swear to God, every time one pops in, I get like a little jump of just thanks. I'm so super grateful. I don't know if you realize how much, but I am. So thank you. Right. What else have we got here for your funky ass? It's Just Stop Oil, isn't it? Right, I'm going to play this first. And this is what happened. I think it was Friday, so it's kind of got, like, lost in the weekend a little bit. But this was when Soup was launched at the Van Gogh painting. No, it's...
Security!
security. I love that guy. That was the unspoken hero of the piece. Security. Fucking imagine being able to say that and that just being your voice. It's fucking great. It's like Basil Rathbone or something. I'm not even sure my age there. I just know about old Sherlock Holmes. So that was what went on. My initial reaction was, oh, for fuck's sake. Just like it was with the Captain Tom having liquid shit poured on him. Well, his effigy anyway, like his statue the other week. I'll be playing you a clip of that in a moment about what I said. But just on this, my initial reaction was, what the fuck do you think you're doing? But then I decided to do this exercise where I face myself with my own shit and try and like produce something where I interrogate myself. So that's what this is. And I want to make it really clear. We've got an interview with Just Stop Oil ready to go and ready to come out. Like, we have all the respect in the world for them. But guess what's happened? We're old, basically. We're older. And I realized that, like, I'm entering middle age and I'm becoming a miserable, like, naysaying twat when it comes to certain things. And I should basically be getting out of the way. And the reason is, and the reason that these good people are doing these things is this. And here's your man Attenborough telling me all about it.
In the last 150 years, the world has warmed on average by just over 1 degree Celsius. And our atmosphere now contains concentrations of carbon dioxide that have not been equaled for millions of years. We are today perilously close to tipping points that, once passed, will send global temperatures spiralling catastrophically higher. If we continue on our current path, we will face the collapse of everything that gives us our security. Food production, access to fresh water, habitable ambient temperature, and ocean food chains. And if the natural world can no longer support the most basic of our needs, then much of the rest of civilization will quickly break down. Please make no mistake. Climate change is the biggest threat to security that modern humans have ever faced.
There's a climate Yoda there with some bad news for our nation's children and the nations of other children. But I think we all know this, at least watching this, I think we all should know this, we do. But I think sometimes we're forgetting it's about that delusion thread that I'm talking about. I think we get to a point because we're so consumed by so many things, so many different people, so many different events, mortgage crisis, cost of living, the fact that like the pandemic was just called to a close with some kind of like George W. Bush mission accomplished thing. Many years before any kind of like war ended, or it's just bollocks, total and utter gaslighting, isn't it? Because if you actually go and look at the figures for COVID, then absolutely shocking going into winter with the way the NHS is. However, all of these things are terrible, but they're nowhere near as bad as what your man Climate Yoda's just said. And he's right. And here's some of the things that we were saying a couple of weeks ago, and when we were talking about like Captain Tom's statue being covered in liquid shit. So I'm just gonna add this to the stream and we'll have a look at it there, because I've had a bit of a revision. It was utterly mad. And like, I mean, look, I've got all the respect in the world for people out there who are fighting for us. And, you know, we've spoken to people who are out there doing this, people who've been to jail. But somebody needs to have a word. Do we have any mutuals with that? Like, can Gianara, can we have a word? Because, like, she's like, I didn't want to sound like some old twat, right? But, like, she's 21. She's got that fight in her, and I love it. But I knew what we were like when we were 21. Yeah, and it was exactly. like, God knows what we would have got up to. And it's just like, Divin, set yourself on fire. And please stop pouring shit on Captain Tom. I'm thinking, look, if you're going to do a statue, I can think of many others, but like, leave him alone. I mean, you come up with such magical quotes as tomorrow will be a new day or whatever the fuck it was. I can't remember. And sound made of run round the garden. That was another one of his, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'll probably show up about Captain Tom, actually. I won't make myself popular.
It's a bit of a hot one, isn't it? And I mean, like, God rest the lad's soul. I've got no problem with Captain Tom or any of that older generation at all, and just let them be, man, innit? It's like...
Yeah, like, I just don't believe that that's going to be making the point that they do.
I don't know what it's doing. I mean, it was fantastic to watch, I'll be honest. I mean, it's like, in terms of, like... Guy Debord, Society of the Spectacle, right? It's a spectacle, isn't it? And the Situationists were all about doing wild shit to fucking, like, create a spectacle, and then everybody responds to the spectacle, and then it gets the thing they want to talk about on the table. So I'm going to assume it's, like, born from Situationist theory and Debord and all of that, right?
Listen to that wanker. That wanker's me. That wanker right there's me. And... coming with some proper old twat vibes, forgetting entirely what I was like, well, mentioning it, but when I've really thought about it and what Alice was like and others in our little ragtag rabble of shite, would we have thrown liquid shit on Captain Tom when we were 21? Fucking hell. I really don't know. And that's the thing. I really don't know. And here's one of the problems that we've got, right? People who have been in the environmental movement, I mean, we were doing environmental protests in the 90s, man. Like, we've lost it, I think, our generation, the ones in my 40s. I'm on here fucking every day, right? And I'm like, you're this, you're that, you're the fucking third. I'm part of the problem as well. I'm needing to get the fuck out of the way and let these young people fucking thrive. And it's not just young people, as we'll see later on. I'm going to play a clip from what's happening right now, which is two people have climbed at the top of the Dartford Bridge. And they're not, like, particularly young, about my age by the looks of them. And they haven't lost it. The top bottom of it is, right, the environmental movement has tried everything. Up to now, everything, writing letters, petitions, lobbying various parliaments, everything you can possibly think of, short of throwing shit on Captain Tom, throwing soup on and let's get it right. The press reported this completely mental, right? Because they're doing it for clicks. Van Gogh, right? And all of these paintings are behind protective screens. So they're just throwing it on a pane of glass. I think what was said was there's a slight bit of damage to the frame or whatever. But guess what? The planet's absolutely dying. As your man Climate Yoda's just expertly pointed out, because he is an expert, if we don't intervene in this, we're fucked. And I'm sitting there just 2 weeks ago going, does anybody know her? Can I have a word? How about I have a word with myself? How about that instead? How about I'm wrong? The top and bottom of it is, and I forget this far too quickly, and I've got no excuse because I literally research this shit all the time. And I've done it because I've bought into delusion that it couldn't be achieved in it by any other means. Because guess what happened after that Van Gogh thing? Here's your process. People went, oh, what are you fucking doing? Much like the same energy that I was displaying the other week. And then if they want to keep thinking, if they're not hard of thinking, then they'd be like, oh, yeah, but now I'm thinking about the climate. Oh, and now everybody's talking about it after they've got over the Van Gogh thing. Be it people going, I don't give a fuck about the climate crisis, or people on the other side of that, or anywhere in between. People are talking about it. We are talking about it now. Like, it got in the mainstream media, even if it was just on the painting thing. It's a talking point for people to bring up in their own families, isn't it? Because you can't just sit there slagging them all the time. You're going to have to talk about the reasons why.
And the reason why were just detailed by Climate Yoda. So if you don't like them, then maybe you like the guy who makes all them nice wildlife documentaries, who's saying that all those nice wildlife documentaries are not going to get made anymore. Not because he's like, you know, come towards the end of his life. There's plenty more getting made just because those animals are going to die. Like, we'll look at the wildfires like around the world, but like the ones in Australia a couple of years ago are a case in point, worst ever. And if I remember correctly, there's over 1 billion animals killed. 1 billion. That's an almost unfathomable number of animals killed. And that's just getting started. It's just getting warmed up, if you'll pardon the pun. And I'm wrong, man. I shouldn't be fucking like being a snippy little twat about people going out there doing actions, and they are actually raising the conversation and ensuring the conversation is heard. I should not be doing that. I'm not a person who can say shit to people if I'm not doing anything myself. Now, I find I'm doing this podcast and it's growing and all of that stuff, but like that's just one form of activism. It's my expression of activism. It's not having the impact they are, is it? Not even close. So I should just shut the fuck up and get out of the way and let them do what they're doing. Because at the end of the day, we might not agree with it, but nothing else is working because the media's compromised. Like, what else is going to get this talked about? Do you know what it is? I celebrate these people because they're going to jail. They know they're going to jail. There's that lad who attached himself to the Everton Newcastle game, attached himself to the post. He's been, look at what's happening to him. He's been like, he's in custody until 2023. I didn't want to get all like sort of far right Twitter about it and that, but like, think about all the nonsense and whatever who get out. I remember when it happened, he got like remanded at some court, and there was like it was some scousers on there saying, I know that court. And there's loads of people who have done far worse than him who just get released back into the community. It's clearly a political move, and they're trying to not only change the sentences so people like this could get like 10 years or beyond, they're also just locking these people up, and they're trying to do all of this. And you've still got people up there on that bridge today and doing other things. Now, you might not agree with any of this, right? I remember when this first started kicking off, and it was a few years ago, and there was some slow bike ride across the Tyne Bridge by Extinction Rebellion during rush hour. And I was like, this, what the fuck is this? And it doesn't get people on side, like, it doesn't. But it starts the conversation. And we're in a desperate situation globally in terms of like climate, but we're also in a desperate situation in terms of the quality of the discourse. So if it's going to be shit, then people are going to start wading in shit, because the planet is going to, the ecosystem and the climate is collapsing, man. And I'm sorry to sit here every day ripping the fucking elastoplast off. I'm really sorry. I don't want to live in this world. In fact, I don't want to be doing this, man. But like, it's that kind of thing where I feel like this is something I can do. I have a platform and I should use it because of things like this and other things. What I want to be doing is growing food, and I want to be giving that away to people and cutting out money. That's ultimately my dream in life. Have some dogs, grow the food, give it away, have just enough and a little bit more to live on. It's quite modest, really, but that's all I want to do. But in the meantime, this is what I have to do. So please do support by going to patreon.com/cowdaily. But now, it would be good if you could, because you never know. We might be able to get some land in the future if we use the money. But anyway, that's by the by. It's in the future. Today, right now, these lads are on that bridge right now. And this is what they've got to say.
This cable of the QE2 bridge over of the M25 crossing the Thames. It's been really difficult. All we've had to grip onto this cable are some rope slings and our legs. I'm willing to do this kind of thing because I'm not willing to sit back and watch everything I love burn for the rest of my life. And that's what's happening. That's what's happening. And the current fraudulent charlatan excuse for a government we have here is accelerating that process, granting more licenses for oil and gas. It's an absolute act of treason. Selling all of ourselves and our children into an uninhabitable earth. And I believe it's my duty to do anything in my power to stop it. So my friend and I have climbed up here today. I'm going to stay here until government makes a meaningful statement that they will end new licensing and consents for oil and gas extraction in the UK, and that they will start an emergency transition to the renewable energy that we need, funded by the fossil fuel companies and the rich. We're out of time. Please join the resistance. You don't have to climb a bridge, but any simple act of disobedience would just stop oil. We're meeting daily at 11 a.m. Any simple act of disobedience that you can do is all that we have left to force our criminally negligent government to take basic steps to protect our country, our people, our land, and our future.
Man, I know there's people saying in the comments you were tearing up. Same. I mean, obviously, I've got to bounce these videos and render them before they go onto the online dashboard. And yeah, every day I'm going through this, like witnessing these people. How brave is that lad, man? Seriously, though, how brave and how much of a beautiful act is it to, like, in this context too, where these lads could get like a huge prison sentence for any of this because of the ghouls they're going up against, and they're still out there doing it because they're doing it for us. So when we're seeing soup thrown on the Van Gogh, when we're seeing these people going up the bridge, even when we're seeing liquid shit poured on Captain Tom, which is it getting them talking. I mean, bad discourse is better than no discourse in this context of a burning planet. Wouldn't you agree? Absolutely. I'm wrong. I'm very wrong. And I wanted to get up here and say that because it sucks to be wrong. And I look at what I was 2 weeks ago, looking at, like, fair one, right? Like people have said, like, look, you're doing some kind of like apology about the fact that shite's being poured on a much loved national figure. Well, his statue at least. And it is batshit as fuck. Like, a lot of it is batshit as fuck, but that's direct action and it gets people talking about it. And what we want to be looking at is why the media and the political establishment and others don't see what Climate Yoda says and feels, because it's reality. So before we end the show, just a few of your comments. I have so much admiration and love for those doing things like this. That's Zoe, me too, mate. Barbara's saying, goodness, they're brave going up there. Kudos. I agree. Elizabeth Curtis Kearney, he's heroic. I agree, mate. Jacqueline Hemmons, absolutely agree. People who are trying to save the planet should not be punished. In a world built on rationalism, Jacqueline, then you would be completely correct, and it would be a case, but it's not. And this is why I keep talking about delusion all the time, and I focus the guns on my own fucking delusions today, because I'm sorry. And treat this as a drum and bass rave. We're going to do a rewind, because it's important, and we're going to play out again with Climate Yoda, because we need to drill this stuff in our brains. And I'm sorry to pull this elastoplast off all the fucking time, if indeed you're allowing us to, because there will, as we've seen, there's people in this just like full of drivel. And mates, all of this is evidenced. But anyway, here's Climate Yoda. This has been Cow Daily. Please go to patreon.com/CowDaily, patreon.com/CowDaily, support what work, and PayPal link in the description if you want to leave a one-off donation. I know times is hard, but we need to build independent media, and I'll keep turning up here every day if you do, and I'll keep turning up every day if you keep supporting. Please, as well, if you go to Apple Podcasts or Spotify, leave a nice 5-star review, and more so, tell a friend, because as I say, we'll keep turning up here every day, shining the light on these things, including ourselves. Here's Climate Yoda. Have a great day, everybody. Much love. I see you later.
In the last 150 years, the world has warmed on average by just over 1 degree Celsius. And our atmosphere now contains concentrations of carbon dioxide that have not been equaled for millions of years. We are today perilously close to tipping points that, once passed, will send global temperatures spiralling catastrophically higher. If we continue on our current path, we will face the collapse of everything that gives us our security. Food production, access to fresh water, habitable ambient temperature, and ocean food chains. And if the natural world can no longer support the most basic of our needs, then much of the rest of civilization will quickly break down. Please make no mistake. Climate change is the biggest threat to security that modern humans have ever faced.